Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 23. Paragraph 3 is the one we're going to unpack today to see what's in there for us to recover with. And it starts with how true this is. And what I want to end with, please, on that one is the power of will. Thank you so much. And let's see, where are we at now? Today's readers are Janice P.M., The 12 Steps, Robin D.Z., The 12 Traditions, and reading today the text is Wendy B. and Marie J. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And of course, we have Ramona A is going to greet the newcomers and get sponsors at the end. So don't go anywhere. And Leslie M will have some announcements to wrap up this meeting today. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. You'll need this when you dial back in. 12838. That's for Monday, April 29th, 2019, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. 12838. And then this morning we already had a Big Book Study meeting. That share ID number for Tuesday, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, April 30th, 12840, 12,840. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Janice P.M. to please read the 12 steps.
Well, good morning to you, Melanie, and thank you, everyone. These are the 12 steps of OA. My name is Janice, pardon me, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. One. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thanks so much, Janice P.M. I will now ask Robin D.Z. to please read the 12 Traditions of OA.
The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin DZ. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting for the recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and this would indicate using the star 1 process rather than just muting your own phone set. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter that there is a solution. On page 23, paragraph 3, how true this is and the power of will. Bookends that particular paragraph, and I'll unpack that one. I will ask Wendy B. to read that paragraph and start the sharing by giving her experience, strength, and hope. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. How true this is. Few realize in a vague way their families and friends sense that these drinkers are abnormal. But everybody hopefully awaits the day when the sufferer will rouse himself from his lethargy and assert his power of will. So I looked up the word abnormal in my Big Book dictionary, and it's not normal, it's other than normal and away from normal. And then it referred you to look up normal. So normal is average, usual, acceptable, ordinary, routine, sane, rational, and true. So that I was referring to the line where it says their families and friends sense that these drinkers are abnormal. So my last binge was eating movie theater popcorn, you know, with my husband. You know, and we polished off, you know, the first big bucket, and I went and got a refill, and my husband ate only a little bit of the refill, and I finished it off. You know, and I didn't like the movie, so I thought, well, you know, if I have to suffer through this movie, at least I can have popcorn, you know. So after finishing off the refill, the movie still wasn't over, so I needed more popcorn. You know, and I looked around, and a couple sitting near us had left their bucket. You know, it was sitting there, and they left. So I grabbed it, and I went to get a refill. And when I was walking back to my seat with it, I saw the couple returning to their seats, and I was just so embarrassed at stealing their bucket. You know, I ran and hid in the bathroom, you know, until the movie was over and everyone left. And when I found my husband, you know, afterwards I told him, you know, where I was. And he had to face the couple and explain my behavior, you know. And he knew that wasn't normal behavior, you know, that I had a problem. And finally it hit home to me too, you know, I wasn't normal. I could no longer, you know, make excuses and rationalize my obsessive behavior. You know, I recognized my powerlessness and surrendered to work in the program, you know, with complete abstinence. You know, no more telling myself popcorn's okay because it doesn't have sugar in it, you know, and it's a healthy snack. You know, no more hand-to-mouth snacking on anything, you know, and I'm accepting this new way of abstinence eating for me as my new normal, you know, it's my, even though everyone around me, you know, is eating my binge foods, you know, my normal is that I can't do it, and I accept that. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Wendy B. The lines are now open for folks that want to comment on that paragraph. Paragraph 3, page 23 of your big book this morning. If you give your first name and the initial of your last, first initial of your last name, I can put you down for speaking.
Janice P.M.
Wendy M.
Wendy.
Miriam Rifka E.
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R. Pause here for a moment for other folks to press star 1 to unmute that want to share on that paragraph. Take that as all no. Hey, Danis, you're up first, please. Thank you so much. And then Wendy will come in after you.
Well, thank you so much, Melanie. And I know you'll time me. Pardon me. Yes, my name is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. How true this is. How true what is? Well, I know it for me. I was always saying, someday, somehow, I am going to beat this game. Because after all, my husband is this, he can get me this, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I really didn't really surrender to the idea that I am powerless. Not only am I powerless over the trigger foods, I am mentally powerless over this obsession. And, you know, the thing is, I didn't know that. So I'm sure my poor family, my husband and my son and my friend didn't know that. How could they? They've never had the phenomenon of craving. So they try and help us, you know, I'm talking about me. He tried to help me. Okay, let's not do this. Let her sleep. Maybe she won't be hungry when she wakes up. All kinds of methods that I even used to test my control. I was always testing my control over the substance, over the behavior, over the person. And that was my problem. Because I didn't know that I was really powerless. Neither did my friends or family. They were trying to help me not to have that phenomenon of craving. But how could they if they haven't experienced it like me? So, yeah, you know, they don't realize the powerlessness. Because why? Because they could stop. They have a control over certain foods. Just put it down. What's the problem? Well, I couldn't do that. I could put it down, but I couldn't stay down. So, you know, it doesn't matter if they don't. And they're always hoping that, oh, yeah, maybe this time. Look, she lost that weight. Now she's going to meetings and she's very active and blah, blah, blah. And maybe she won't eat that again. Maybe she's got it this time. Like I used to think the same thing. Maybe I got it this time. Well, this time never came until I, you know, went through the steps and I had to know the mentality that was the real problem. And I can't expect anybody else to understand me, except, of course, another compulsive overeater. And I see something about sponsors here, too, is that I can't expect them to know that they are powerless until they know that they're powerless. Only God can do that, only their higher power. We have to know that I don't have willpower when it comes to picking up a donut or whatever. I just don't. I mean, that's how my system is. I don't. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you much.
Thank you so much, Janice PM. Wendy M., you're next, and then Miriam Rifka will come after you.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Grateful to be on the line. And Mel, thanks for your service and everybody else. So thank God it says how true this is. You know, thank God, right? There's clarity here. It says in a vague way. And I was living in the land of vagueness my whole life. If I'm vague, I'm a target that keeps moving. You can never get to me because I'm going to stay vague. I'm never going to be clear about anything. And certainly being in the food for 39 years and probably more than that, was living in vague land, right? Because vague is, there's absolutely no accountability there. I'm just this moving person, you can never actually get to her, right? And so what this requires is clarity. And that's what an entire abstinence is complete clarity. And then it also says, assert his willpower, his power of will. And I wrote, yummy. That's a delicious thought. Yummy. Like if I have a problem asserting my will, that sounds fantastic. And unfortunately, that's where the trouble begins. It's because it's my will. And when I hear asserting my will, it's like, I'll do it again. I've got this. I can figure this out. I've got it licked. I really do understand the problem, and I'm pretty sure I can handle it. And it turns out that this I is the self, right? And what I hear in the rooms or on this meeting is that this book is about the death of self, right? I've got to get out of the way. I must get out of the way. I must release self, right? I have to completely surrender. And this total surrender is like the opposite of how I know I grew up and probably most of us. Wait, what do you mean? I have to let go completely, get out of self, and trust a higher power, trust a source greater than me? And the answer is yes. And even like figuring that out, I can't be involved in that process. I must always let go of this power of will. I must, or it will kill me. I will continue to run the show. I will continue to have self in, being involved. And what, again, this is a big ticket item here. What we're asking for is a complete surrender. But here's the kicker, is that if I actually trust a power greater than me with all of my problems, including the food, I get relief. I get peace. I get serenity. Like, wait, what do you mean I get to let go of asserting my will? What do you mean I don't have to figure this out? You don't. Stop. There's nothing to be done. Just give it to your higher power. Just turn it over to that source that you know already exists, that love that is completely, is common among all of us, that flow. However you want to call your higher power, it doesn't matter. But release it, let it go, surrender, let go. It just gives me peace, freedom, serenity. Stop. There's nothing to be done. Let it go. And that is the gift of this program. That is the gift for not just the food, but absolutely everything where I'm asserting my will. And I have a program that tells me, hey, you're asserting your will again, right? So I've got a mind that says, I'm nuts. I'm going to call Melanie or somebody else, and they're going to say, you're in the disease, and we can let it go. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy. Appreciate that. Miriam Rifka H. and then Lisa J.R. will come after you. And then after Lisa J.R., the lines will be open for additional folks to comment on page 23, paragraph 3. You want to get ready. Hi, Miriam Rifka.
Hi. Thank you so much, Melanie. I'm starting my timer. This is Miriam Rifka H. in New Jersey, recovered compulsive eater. I
This just stands out to me. Everybody hopefully awaits the day when the sufferer will rouse himself from his lethargy and assert his power of will. And, you know, for me, it wasn't really everybody waiting for that day. It was me waiting for that day. Most people did not realize how much I was suffering in the food. But when I came to this program, I was encouraged to look at my history and look at what my experience has been until now. And it was very sobering to look at the, you know, and I came in younger than most, but for me, it had already been over a decade of things getting worse and never better. You know, if I look back, there was never a time that I was able to control my food. And if I look back, I was always telling myself never again. And I was always telling myself this is the last time and it's not going to happen again. And I'm starting the diet tomorrow. It was just over and over and over and over again. And the craziness was I just continued to hopefully wait for the day that it was just all going to get better. And this was really a beginning. This was really like a part of my step one, I should say, that really looking, like holding up a mirror to myself and my situation and looking at, you know, what is ever going to change? Like nothing, nothing will ever change. It's always been like this. No matter, it's not like I haven't tried. I've been to nutritionists. I've tried diets. I've tried harder. I've tried, you know, so many things. I've tried. The magical day is not coming. Something big has to change. And I was very grateful to come here and be presented with this program of action and a plan for recovery. And I saw all of you guys and I heard you on the line that this is something that actually worked. And I was left with no choice but to pick this up and give it a try because there was nothing. You know, this just really, this was me just waiting for that magical day. I had to really see there is no third door. And I had to come to the conclusion that, you know, right when I came into program, I'm just like a young mother, and I can either do this program or I can keep doing this forever. And before I know it, I'll be a grandmother and hopefully a great grandmother, and I'll still be binging and binging and binging because nothing changes unless something changes. So I'm very, very grateful for this program. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Miriam Rivka H. Lisa J.R., you're next to share, and then after Lisa J.R., the lines will be open again. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. Lisa J.R. here, gratefully recovered by God's grace today. Wow. When I came into program, I treated it like a cafeteria. So my bottom had many, many trap doors, I realized. You know, thank God I found the rooms of Big Book Recovery, or I probably would be dead today. You know, I married late in life, to, you know, about 11 years ago. And when I married my husband, I was at a normal weight. Boy, I could eat like a lumberjack. He used to tease me. I was fast and furious, and I ate copious quantities of food, more than he did. I'm 5'5", and he's 6 feet tall, 6'1", and I could eat him under the table every time, but it didn't show. And, you know, once I broke my feet and my solution didn't work anymore, I piled the weight on, and I went through my fat pants overnight. It was absolutely terrifying to me, you know, but I couldn't stop. And he couldn't understand for the longest time until he found me eating in my sleep, eating some gift that he bought a friend of his, and I was shoveling it in my face. And he said I was just staring into the blackness, and he was astonished, you know, but he still doesn't quite wrap his brain around it. And, you know, rousing me out of my lethargy, I ate so fast I choked on salad. I choked on a salad. You know, and I could be that person again. I could go back to that more is better and more has to be faster. I could go right back to that behavior if I didn't have this program. And the solution that this program gives me to take my crazy brain and to not pause, but to stop when agitated, you know, and get a hold of myself and give myself and my will to my higher power. because my will tell me every time, get something you can put in your mouth and shovel it down. You know, that was my solution for being restless, irritable, and discontent. And thank God I found this way of life, because I know I would be dead today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. The lines are now open for additional folks to comment on paragraph 3, page 23 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you give me your first name and the first letter of your last name, I can put you down.
Kara L.
Diana.
Kara L.
Deb.
Deb. Des M.
Barbara.
Dion R.
Dion R.
Ellen.
Aaron, is that what I'm hearing? Aaron?
Ellen?
I'm just Ellen? Not catching it. Ellen?
E-L-L-E-N, Ellen?
L-E-A-F.
And Ellen, just to let you know, since I'm having a lot of difficulty hearing you, folks may have trouble hearing your share, too. If you can adjust your volume, that might be helpful. We want to hear what you have to say. And then I heard L-E-A-F. So we're going to go with that lineup.
Yeah, thank
Kara,
you.
Des, Barbara E., Dion R., Ellen, and Ali A. Not sure that I have time. I didn't quite hear that last name that came through. So we'll see what we have with time with this lineup for now. Kara, would you go first, please? And then, Des, you'll fall in after.
Sure. Good morning. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Thank you, everybody, who did service this morning on this meeting so that we could all be here together. And I'm listening to the shares, and I thought, gosh, I relate so much to that, you know, the family's waiting for that day that, you know, the craziness is, and it wasn't just like the amounts and what I could eat. It was, what new diet am I on? What, you know, how am I eating today? My husband would say, well, I can't keep track of what you can eat and you can't eat, you know, and it was just the craziness because I was always in my own will. I was in my own will about, I'm going to fix this, I'm going to do this. And there was always something newer and brighter and better on the horizon. And the sad truth is, they all made me sicker because they all reinforced my own will. And it wasn't until that I worked these steps again and I turned my will over to my higher power, and that my, you know, everything just went over to my higher power. And I just started asking for everything, practicing, praying, and meditating little prayers. God, should I do this or this? Please give me, inspiration, intuitive thought or decision. God, what do you think? Should I have the yogurt or the cottage cheese today? You know, those little things. And I just kept practicing, and I would go with my intuition. And it's made everything so easy because it's no longer up to me. My food is no longer up to me. My body size is no longer up to me. My life is no longer up to me. It's all up to my higher power. And when things start to cloud that, I work the steps. I call it a fellow, and I do a 10th step. You know, and I my job today is just to keep that path clear so that I can hear my higher power, that I can move forward. And that's why I have to clear the wreckage of my past. I have to work with others. I have to give it away. Because I don't want to lose everything that I've got. It's so precious to me. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. Des M., you're next, and then Barbara E. will follow you.
Hi, this is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I'm so grateful for this meeting. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I've heard so much good stuff, and really what's on my heart is the abnormal and the look at it, and just appreciated hearing everyone share, and I can so relate to just the insanity of the compulsive overeating and where it lends us, and you know, the looks and the craziness, and then really that usually turned into my image management and trying to be like, well, you know, they're overeating with me one day, or trying to go to people to tell me it was okay. Well, you're not, you know, a size 26 yet, like you're fine, and just seeking that outside solution that wasn't my higher power. And then I get to come to these rooms in the morning. You know, today I woke up a little bit restless. I didn't get as much sleep as I would have liked. And I get to come to this meeting and get right-sized and hear my normal, because my normal is that I'm a compulsive overeater and that I need to get, you know, the solution outside of myself and get in that flow. I heard this morning too, and that's how I see it too. Like when I'm with my higher power, I'm in the flow, not in the self that's analyzing my life and, you know, thinking of the my will and asserting my power and what's yummy and what's exciting and what's, you know, what I want. It's really about hearing other people and just what a gift. I'm just so, so grateful this morning that I get to listen to this meeting and hear the solution. Like there is a solution. I get to hear it and I get to share my own. And for that, I'm so grateful and I'll pass. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you very much.
Des M. Barbara E., you're next. And then Dion R. will follow you.
Good morning, everyone. Did you just say Barbara E. is up now?
I did, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, two words from the paragraph jump out. Lethargy. For me, lethargy is equivalent to listlessness and lifelessness. And rouse is to awaken. I needed to be awakened to the fact that I am indeed powerless over everything in my life. And where did I get the thought that I could control my food, I could control my family, I could control everything? I was plagued by justification, rationalization, food senility. There was a saying, if you want to know what your wife will look like in 40 years, look at her mother. Boy, if my fiance believed that, he was fooled. She was a petite woman all her life, and I boomeranged all my life. Wash extenders wrapped to my thighs, waddling down the aisles of the airplane, looking at the faces of frightened people worried that I would be seated next to them. The extenders, the trouble getting into the airline bathrooms. My husband and my mother and my kids never knew which Barbara they were going to come home to. Was it going to be the dieting Barbara who said, you just eat this, you eat this, you eat this, I know better, you eat eggs a certain amount of the week, you eat organ meats once a week, or was it going to be the Barbara that filled them with pasta and potatoes and rice and bread and rice-a-roni and ravioli? But the good news is this book contained a solution for me. I had to give up all control of everything and say, thy will be done. I need a roto-rooter on my soul every single day. The bad thing about this program is I see my character defects. The good thing is I see my character defects and I work to correct them every single day. And I am human, so I do it imperfectly. And that's why I go to these meetings and face-to-face meetings and pray and speak my truth there, and hope that they hear what I hear. Thank you so much. I do pass right now.
Thank you, Barbara E. Dion R., you're next.
Hi.
And then
Hi,
Ellen will come after you. Hi, Dion.
Hello. Good morning, all, and good to hear from you guys. And I love this topic and what we were reading in the big book, as well as everyone's share. Just so enlightening, reminded me of of course, myself, in looking up the word, it just ditto almost to what everyone said, but that's what came to me and stood out to me also is the lethargy of how I can get, you know, lack of energy, lifelessness, and, you know, go into that, and the family just like, you know, well, we just hope one day, give her some time, she'll come out of it. You know, they knew I was in a food hell. And a food hog. A food fog. It probably. And anyway, So just being reminded, you know, that when I'm at normal, and it's okay, I love it, because you guys remind me I'm not alone. And they will hopefully wait. Dion's, she'll come out in a minute. Give her some time. And I just think about all the years I wasted, you know, asserting my will, you know, in the wrong direction. Today I do assert my will, thank you, to you guys in the program, mainly my higher power. I assert my will by surrendering to my higher power, HP. I gave him his will, and he gave me these set instructions, you know, which is the 12 steps and working with others and cleaning my closet out, you know, and pushing forward no matter what, good day or bad day, because at the inner and the core of my being, I'm still full of joy. It feels so good, guys. It feels so good to have this joy no matter what, rainy day, Sunday, or whatever day. And but I don't have to flip-flop anymore. It's just like an even keel, you know. Life is not always good. No, it's still life. But I'm more even keel only because I assert my will to my higher power. I have to pick up a phone or a big book or something. That's a will for me. I can't, because my idea at the beginning was, just sit back and say, oh, God's God, he know what I'm thinking anyway. I ain't got to do nothing, you know. But no, there's certain things, Dion, I do know I have to do. Working with others is my, it's the key and blessing. It's a joy to be around recovery people and normal people as well. But it also is just the awakening to know I don't have to just sit back and say, you know, I made a decision. So what? To keep the fork down and to continue on this road of recovery. And with that, I'll pass, guys. And thank you all for allowing me to share, and good to hear from you all. And I'll pass.
Yeah, good to hear you too, Dion. That was Dion R. Ellen, you're next. Press star one, please.
Hi, thank you for everybody who does service, and thank you for letting me share. This is reminds me of a lot of people in my life that they see me doing something and they don't encourage me, or they don't really help me like the OA program does. A lot of people will just judge and condemn. And the OA program is the only one that I ever truly got genuine help from, realizing that I don't have the power to do it on my own. I tried and I kept falling on my face over and over again. But the only way that I was able to actually have success was turning it over to my higher power and asking for power over my my disease and my addictions and my issues. But yeah, for years I tried to do it on my own, and people would laugh, and they would knew something was wrong. But I remember when I was little, about 6 years old, getting into my mom's cupboards and getting cake mixes and eating them. And I was, you know, when I was younger, I was thin then. It didn't catch up to me until I was older. But I basically was looking for love, is how I feel it all started, was I found comfort and it felt good to eat food. And it just grew from there into a disease. And I'm just thankful for this program, thankful for the truth, that's only the truth shall set you free. And this program speaks the truth. And I've had so many people brainwash and illusions and false ideas that until I was able to admit that I had a problem and be honest about things, I wasn't able to get better. So I'm thankful for this program, and with that, I'll mute.
Hey, Ellen, before you take off, would you give me the first letter of your last name, please?
It's Ellen M.
Like Mary?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your share, too. Welcome. Ali A. S., you're next. Star one.
Hello, this is Ali A. S. from Cologne, Germany. I'm so grateful to be in the meeting today. I feel a little you know, in withdrawal. It's my 20th day. But, you know, hearing all your powerful shares on this obsession and on the sickness, it really, and that you got out of it, it really gave me strength. When I think about family and friends that are hoping that I will be normal one day, I think about my mom, which she, you know, she has witnessed me on my drugs and especially in my food. And I remember she was coming to my room trying to get me out of my isolation. I was deeply depressed and in the food, and I was like, go away, go away. But I know she never gave up hope until the very last, until I was in the drugs and stuff like that. But yeah, you know, when I tell people nowadays, hey, I have an issue with food, I have an eating disorder, they think, oh, okay. And like my mom also, when I was a child and I tried to lose weight, but I was secretly stealing away the food from the fridge and binging in my room, hiding the rest of the food under the bed. And, you know, my mom would come into the room and she would like look under the bed to see what was under there. It was so humiliating and so embarrassing. But she never understood. Like, she always said, oh, if you eat just what I give you, you will lose weight. And I thought, well, but I need something else. I always wanted like fancy diets and control. And I ended up binging like 2 days later, even after the Slim Fast and everything. So yeah, this book and your voices, it really lifted me up and this afternoon here in Germany and gave me strength to continue on the day, because now in early recovery, I really feel the pain of the disease and the tug and the voices. And yeah, but I'm so grateful for this meeting, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Alia. That's Alia S. from Germany. Looks like we do have time for probably two more people to comment on that paragraph. It's paragraph 3 on page 23 of your big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Press star 1. I'd love to get a couple more names.
Donna W.
Somebody W. Is it Donna?
Donna. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And one more?
Anna A.
Anna? Is that what I heard?
Yes.
I did hear Anna. Okay. Anna B. Great. Let's go with those two and see what time allows then with those others that were back behind you both. Donna W. and Anna B. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Donna. Donna W., you're up. Well, since we're not hearing from her, Anna, would you go first, and then we'll see if we can find Donna.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you so much for this meeting. And with reading this passage, it reminded me of how people treated me when I was actively in my disease. And it's because I couldn't control the food. They acted like I couldn't control my life or things, you know, around me. So they treated me like I was less than. And I just remember this so well that, you know, it was just the way the outside world or the normies would look at me. They would judge me based on my disease, not knowing a thing about it. But, you know, she can't control this. Gosh, you know, we're not going to let her, you know, do much of anything else. So it was really interesting for me to be reminded that I'm sure they wish I could stop. But there was a certain amount of dignity that came back into my life when I was able to let God release me from this disease on a daily, you know, every day, daily reprieve of this. And then when I started to outside, my outside matched what I was doing and I lost a lot of weight, then all of a sudden they were treating me different. I'm thinking they're just treating me different because I lost weight. And that was probably true. And I am resentful towards that because the reason I just figured out why I was resentful, because it's like I'm the same person. You know, I still have this disease. it's, you know, I get a daily reprieve from it, but, you know, I still, you know, have this, I have to do my steps every day to keep it at bay. And so I'm really appreciating people's shares and my fellow addicts, because you get me. You don't know, you don't think I'm less. You don't, you know, whatever I'm doing, you understand. And so with that, I will pass, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna. And Anna, actually, Anna B. Donna, did you come back?
I'm back. Thanks so much, Emma.
Hi. Oh, good.
Dropped. Yeah, so Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. So grateful to be abstinent and recovered for today. And the reading and the shares today just helped me realize how grateful I am that I'm in program, that I have this program, that I have you. I have three sisters. One has diabetes. Another one is addicted to sugar and has issues with her bones because of it, and she still eats sugar. And the other is morbidly obese, and my mom is obese as well and a food addict. So, you know, it's all around me and my family. Whenever I think I'm a normal person, I just need to look at my family and remember that this is where I come from. And I'm just so grateful I get to show up in my life today, awake, in a healthy body size, and working on my reliance with my higher power rather than reliance on the food. Because as you know and I know, you know, the more we eat, the more we need to eat. And yeah, so I'm just so grateful. I don't do this program perfectly by any means, but I am on the road. I am trudging the road to happy destiny. And, you know, a bad day in program is better than a good day in the food. Thanks for that, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Donna W. Glad you got back. There is time for one more person to share on that paragraph, page 23, paragraph 3.
Mariana.
We close up. Hi, Mariana. You got it.
Thank you. Wow, I haven't shared in a while. I just want to say I was so moved today. And what really came up for me is what I'm hearing kind of in society a lot lately is like panic, anxiety, panic attacks. And this morning in my meditation, I'm like, you know, why don't I feel those things? And I'm like, well, it's because I'm in meditation every morning and I'm plugging in. And it's interesting because I'm always looking at, like, what I should do more of, like, more tools, or did I do outreach today? Did I listen to a meeting today? And what I'm really grateful for is that when we're in this program and we're embracing it, and some days I'm really embracing it, and some days I feel like I'm not embracing it enough, but just being in that steady flow of having it daily, it's, like, I don't feel those things. And when, you know, I do get stressed and things come up, I get to look at it and I get to, like, pause. And someone told me years ago, a sponsor, you know, you can meditate all throughout your day. You can take 5 minutes here and there. And that was valuable information for me, because I don't know why I just did it every morning and then I didn't embrace it in the day. And so now when I have a day that's full, or I'm feeling some stress, I go to where I do my meditation on my couch, and I go back there, and I just sit there, and I just plug back in. And it's so funny, because before I would have said, oh, I don't have time for that, and now it's like I need that. And so I'm so grateful for that. And there was something else. Just that peace is huge. And you know, sometimes when we just sit in it, we can even look at our journey and be like, wow. Something that happened yesterday that was beautiful, and it wasn't with someone in OA. It was with a friend who was going through a really hard time. I got to just listen, and that's what I did. I just showed up and listened, and I felt like I'm being a fellow for just another human who needs it. And so that's the blessings of this program for me. So thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Mariana D. And that gets us all close to the end of the meeting, and we can always use another minute to be able to open up for newcomers. So with your support, I'd like to start the process of closing out the recorded portion of this meeting by thanking everyone for making this meeting possible today. Those that stepped in for service, Janice PM, Robin DZ, Wendy B, and Marie J, and Ramona and Leslie. So grateful for that. You know, it takes a boatload of us to get this meeting going each and every day of the week. And grateful for that loyalty there. So if you would please indulge me by asking Marie J to read page 164 of the Big Book to close out this meeting, and then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer, and then we'll jump right into greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information. Thank you so much, Marie J. Welcome.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Marie J., gratefully recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. And